generals and officials, compliments of the new year. You all look very well. I guess we'll have also a very successful year. What we are going to do now is to receive the report of the Office of the Chief Justice. I hope that with this report we will close the 2015 and start with new business going forward. And after this we'll then turn to the report of the department. Secretary General, I guess we are in your hands.
We have the presentation on the screen, Chairperson, and with your indulgence, may I start at slide number 12 because the other slides are more the background, which we all know about.
Organize it as you please. You know the message you want to give us.
Thanks, Chairperson. We are at slide number 12, presenting Q2 and 3 of the Office of the Chief Justice. On slide number 12, there is a pie chart on the left and the text on the right. The OCJ has a total of 35 indicators in the 16-16 annual performance plan, and of which 32 targets were set for the reporting in Q2. Out of that, 19-59% of the targets were achieved, and 13-41% targets were not achieved in quarter two. At a program level, the department has got three programs, 1, 2, and 3. Program 1, which is administration, achieved 69% of its target in quarter 2. Program 2, judicial support and court administration, achieved 50% of its target. And Program 3, judicial education and research program, achieved 67% of the set target. And on slide number 13, in quarter 3, the same information, we still have 35 indicators in 1660. APP, 34 targets for quarter 3 now, out of 34, out of 35 indicators, of which 22 and 65% targets were achieved, and 12, 65% were not achieved. At a program level, program 1 achieved in quarter 3, 62%, and program 2 in quarter 3 achieved 72%, and in program 3, 33%. We'll do the comparison when we get to the rest of the slides between 2 and 3. Slide number 14 is an indication of how quarter to quarter the department has performed. You will see, Chair and Honorable Members, that at quarter 1, the overall performance was 62 in terms of the graph, and it went to 59% and to 65% in Q3. Performance in Q3 improved compared to Q1 and 2. In Q1, we achieved 62, and which declined to 59% in Q2. In quarter 3, performance improved by 6% to 65%, and the improvement was mainly in program 2, which is judicial support and court administration, where performance increased from 50% in Q2 to 72%. Overview of performance of program Q1 to Q2. It is a graphic expression of quarter to quarter, but this slide is at the program level. As already indicated, Chair and Honorable Member, the program 1 grew from 59 to 62%, as well as program 2, 67, and dropped down to 50 and picked up to 72% in Q2. And program 3, 67% in Q1, 67% in Q2, which is consistent, and dropped to 33%. If you look at the program one, there's a decline of 7% from 69% in Q2. Program two shows an increase of 22% from 50 to 72 in Q2. And program three shows a decline of 84% from 67 in Q2. Reasons for a change in performance of program will be provided in the you can pass that. I'll pass those slides because it's just generic information. Program one had a total of 14 indicators in the 15-16 plan annual plan, and 13 targets were due to be reported in Q2 and Q3. Of the 13 targets that were due to be reported, 9, the 69%, were achieved in Q2. 8, which is 62%, achieved in quarter 3. The drop in performance in the quarter 3 for this program was mainly attributable to the following aspects. One, they identified critical posts that were not filled as projected, which is a 10% of the target of 90%. Officials not trained in line with the WST as projected. Invoices, the 30-day payments, invoices paid out of target at 100%. The fraud cases not investigated within the 60-day prescribed period as planned, and not all communication activities that were implemented in Q2. Performance sub-program in administration. This is also a graphic expression breaking down program one into the different sub-programs, which indicate how each sub-program was performing within the program. Management achieved the first one, sub-program management achieved 100%, two of its targets in all the three quarters. Corporate services achieved 60%, 3 out of 5 of its targets in Q2, and 40%, 2 out of 5 in Q3. The third sub-program, finance, achieved 67%, 2 out of 3 indicators in targets only in Q2, and 50%, 1 out of 2 in Q3. Internal audit sub-program and risk management services achieved 67%, 2 of 3 in all the quarters, and office accommodation sub-program achieved 100% in both Q1 and Q3. Reason for underperformance per sub-program goes as already indicated in the previous slide. Corporate services underperformance in the sub-program was mainly because of capacity constraints in HR and communication, which has impacted the performance in this area, which are two areas, which is the filling of vacancies as well as the implementation of communication activities. Posts have been advertised in order to capacitate the HR and the two units that have affected the performance in this regard. Financial administration, the underperformance due to inadequate internal capacity and systems and to process payments of invoices in 30 days, mainly which we experienced in the superior cost level. Payment of travel agency invoices, which constituted 60%, more than 60% of the total invoices, will be automated and paid through the National Travel and Travel Card system going forward. And appointed of officials to process payments will be done in Q4, as we have already put in place the process. Internal audit and risk management services, in this instance, underperformance was due to an availability of witnesses that are critical in the cases being investigated for them to be finalized within the 60 days, which caused the delay. And these cases will be prioritized when we go to quarter four, and we'll report on those as we come. This, Honorable Chair and members, is a breakdown of the indicators, targets, and quarter to quarter, and also the reasons for the underperformance or the overperformance or the achievement of the target. Where we have green, I could skip it because those are areas where we have already achieved, and maybe focus on the areas where we have the red. Your permission. Okay. We can skip to slide number 22 because slide number 21 is all green. So of the those are achieved. On slide number 22, item number 3, which is the number of officials staying in line with the rest claim. Some of the training we had to perform, those are the reasons. The annual target was 150. Line Q1, 15 Q2. The target was 15 in Q2, and the actual is 139. In Q3, target of 50, and actual of 44. The deviation in this regard was 6. And the reason is that some training was postponed due to quarter 4, due to officials who were already committed in other processes, because we recycle the same people all over the show, because we are still capacitating the department and other commitments that impacted on this indicator and target. And we have postponed the training to quarter 4, which will ensure that we cover the ground in that area. The second item, number 4, percentage of identified critical funded posts filled, with a target of 90%, as is the prescribed in the DPSA, that 90% of our posts must always be filled, those that are funded. The reason for the deviation, because we did not achieve in this instance, is the capacity constraint within the human resource unit. Having taken over the costs and increased the capacity with which the services must be spread, we have had to increase the capacity of our human resource services so that we are able to cover, because we only had a few in terms of HR services people to serve us in this system. I will skip slide number 23 because it's all green and move to slide number 24. Item 7, number of communication activities implemented in line with the strategy. The newsletter was not developed due to the capacity challenges within communication. We had an instance where we lost the senior manager in that area, and therefore we've been striving to fill the position, but also in terms of consultation with the judiciary in that aspect, we did not achieve that. And the planned action is that the vacant posts within the unit will be filled, including the director's post, which is still vacant as we speak. And this unit operates only with a deputy director and an intent. Slide number 25, item number 9, number of received invoices within 30 days, with a target of 100%. The inadequate internal capacity and IT systems process the payment. As I've already indicated before, the payment of the invoices is now going to be automated through a CAP system as enabled by National Treasury. And this is one aspect that we have strived to make sure that at the court level it receives attention. We have also created new posts on the establishment and will be filled in Q4 to enhance the capacity and also to increase the control system in that area. And the appointment of officials will be done in quarter 4 so that we can increase our control system in that right. Slide number 26, item number 13. Percentage of identified posts investigated within 60 days, a target of 100. And the indications are there in terms of how we performed from Q1 up to 3, where we went from 71, 67, and 25 to a deviation of 75. Present being the non-availability of witnesses, as already indicated before, we have now 3 outstanding cases which will be prioritized in quarter 4. Slide number 27, I will skip it, but maybe to make comments that this has been achieved and the Office of the Chief Justice will be moving to its new offices with effect from the 1st of April. I will skip slide number 28 and 29 and move to slide number 30, which is now program 2, judicial support and court administration. In terms of quarter to quarter, in Q1, we achieved 67% overall in this program. We declined to 50% in Q2 and picked up to 72% in Q3 in this program. The program has a total of 18 indicators in the plan, all due to be reported in Q2 and 3. 50% in 2016 were achieved in quarter two. 72% in 2016 out of 18 targets achieved in Q3. The reason for the increase in achievement in relation to Q3 was mainly due to the achievement in the target of the targets at the SCA level, which was not achieved in quarter two, although it was a very, very minimal margin, a very small margin. Achievement of targets within the specialized cost. Competition at the court achieved one target in Q3, which was not achieved in Q1 and 2. Electoral cost achieved one of one target, and no changes were received in quarter 1 and 2 thereof. Slide number 34, 31, the same approach as the previous program. The comparison at the sub-program level of program 2. The first sub-program, which is administration of superior court, in terms of quarter-to-quarter comparison, at the graphic level, the first sub-program achieved 75, declined to 67 in Q2, and picked up to 83. JSC achieved all its targets at 100% all the time. The Constitutional Court did not achieve all its targets throughout the quarters. SCA, Supreme Court of Appeal, only in Q2 did they not achieve their targets. As I've indicated, it was a very small margin. I think it was a 1% difference. High Court, consistent at 50%, and Specialized Court, 67%. In quarter 1, 33, dropping 33 in quarter 2, and picking up to 75 in quarter 3. In the text is already what I've already indicated, and I'll focus mainly, Chair and Honorable Members, on areas of non-achievement. Bullet number 3, Constitutional Court has not achieved its target. The sub-program finalized is as follows in the three quarters in Q1, which is 69%, 61 in Q2 and 55 in Q3, as already. Constitutional Court Q1, Q3, it went from 69 to 55, which is in quarter 1, it handled 45 out of 65 cases against a target of 80, because the target is 80 throughout each quarter to quarter. In quarter 2, the Constitutional Court has 58, 411 cases finalized against a target of 80. And then quarter 3, finalized 60 out of 109 cases against the target of 80. SCA achieved 0%, 0 out of 1 is target in Q2 and 100 in Q3. The High Court, 50%, which is 2 of 4 of its target in all quarter, in all the three quarters. And the Specialized Court achieved 33%, 1 of 3 of its target in Q3, which gave us an increase to 75%, 3 out of 4 in Q3. I will skip slide number 32 because it's more than generic information. The same approach on slide number 33, all green, and I'll move to slide number 34, item number 6. Customer credit improvement plan. The target for developing implemented low superior cost. We did not achieve this target. This target, we are supposed to have a draft in customer service improvement plan developed, and we should have in quarter 2 have it finalized and in quarter 3 piloted. The reason for the deviation is the capacity constraint within the court administration unit, because we have had to focus our attention on the areas which is very critical relating to court performance area, and therefore we could not focus on the U.S. Direct on Collation of Performance Standards, performance information of the court. And the planned action to address this is that we will develop the tool and pilot it in the court by the end of March 2016, which will be quarter 4. Item number 9, which is percentage of finalized cases, cases finalized in the CC, target of 80%, as already indicated the percentage quarter to quarter in the previous slide. The reason for the deviation is increased jurisdiction of the matters considered at the court, and the fact that in the Constitutional Court, as opposed to all other courts, all the 11 judges have to give attention to each individual case in that sense. Slide number 35, item number 12. The indicator of percentage of premature cases finalized with verdict with a target of 52%. In quarter one, it was 46, quarter two, 53, and 62 in quarter, 35 in quarter three. The deviation of 27% has been experienced, which is an underachievement. The reason being the dependence on other stakeholders in the justice system has its contribution on the delay in the finalization of cases. And we are, as a planned action to address the underperformance, the continuous stakeholder engagement, as each and every judge president is holding the peace. Provincial Efficiency Enhancement Committees, which is a stakeholder forum where all the areas relating to that impact on the performance of the court are being addressed. And those efforts will be continued and as we share the performance information with the court. Slide number 36, item number 14, percentage of reserve judgment finalized on a target of 70%, and Q1 47, Q2 47, and Q3 52%. A deviation of 18%. The reason for deviation is the high workload, particularly at the housing division, because housing division experiences the highest statistical number in terms of the reserve judgment. For example, housing finalized 401 of 734 cases in Q3, which affected the overall performance on the target for reserve judgment. Because of the size of housing division, whether it performs or underperforms, it always rests or pull up the performance in this area. Planned action to address that. Performance of the court is being, court performance is being discussed with the judge's president in areas where these areas are, this performance is below the target. The recently established Judicial Performance Monitoring Committee, chaired by the JP with senior judges in each division, is utilized as an instrument, as a mechanism to address areas of underperformance. As you know, this area lies within the control of the judiciary. So we have chairs and honorable members engage the judges president in terms of which they have agreed with that each court will have that small committee of the JP and senior judge to address court performance areas. Moving to slide number 67, item number 60, percentage of landlink court landlink cases finalized. On a target of 66%, with a deviation of 3%, because in quarter 3 it was 51, quarter 2 31, and quarter 1 57. The reason for the deviation here is that the dependency on other stakeholders in the justice system delays the finalization of cases, and this is mainly related to the parties' unpreparedness, difficulties with securing evidence, and excess support. And this matter was raised by the committee in the last appearance, and we have taken the matter with the judge president in this regard to raise the issues that were raised by the committee members. And some of the areas that I'm mentioning, the issues I'm mentioning, is coming from the JP. The performance is being discussed as a plan action with the judge president, and the JP has undertaken to engage with the stakeholders on this issue. I will skip to slide number 14, because the rest are finished. Slide number 14 is program 3, quarter-to-quarter comparison. Program 3 performs at 67% in Q1 and 2, and declined to 33% in quarter 3. It has a total, this program has a total of 3 indicators in the ACP for 15-16. And which were all to be reported in quarter 2 and 3, of which 2 were reported in quarter 3 and 3, 67%, 2 of 3 targets achieved in quarter 2, 1 of 3 targets, 33% achieved in quarter 3. Reason for the decline in the achievement of rate in quarter 3 was mainly due to the target on judicial education courses not achieved because of postponement of scheduled courses, which fell in the other previous quarters. And one judge feels he's supposed to raise trouble interest as required. The situation has not changed since our last report. Slide number 41 is also a sub-program expression of program 2. South African Judicial Education Institute quarter 1-2 and 1-2 achieved 100% and 0% in quarter 3. And judicial policy and research sub-program, 50% throughout, quarter to quarter 1-3. But they achieved 100% one of one targets in Q2 and did not achieve its one target in quarter 3. The target, the quarter 3 target for SAJ was not achieved because courses were postponed as already indicated, late and insufficient responses for some of the courses, in respect of some of the courses relating to attendance, late review of training materials, non-availability of facilities due to clashing schedules. Judicial policy and research achieved 50%, one of two targets in all three quarters, and the non-achievement related to the one judge who is not disclosing reasonable interest as required by the law. And as already indicated in the previous appearance, the matter has been reported to the JSC and the matter is seized by the JCC. I'll skip slide 42. Slide 43, item number one. Number of judicial education courses conducted, as already indicated previously, I will not repeat the figures, and why the courses were, and the reason for deviations already been expressed. The planned action to attend to the underperformance is that the postponed courses have been included in quarter 4 and also in 16-17 training schedule. Item number 3 on the same slide. Percentage of disclosures of reasonable interest. I will not repeat the information because I've already covered that. The planned action, the non-compliant judge has been reported to the JSC, and the matter is still seized by the JSC as already indicated. Slide number 45, with your permission, I'll share that the CFO take over from here. The CFO.
Thank you, Ms. Jane. Good morning. On slide number 45, we are dealing with the quarter 2 financial performance against the projected expenditure. In program 1, we've slightly overspent the program with about 1.1 million or 6% for the projected expenditure figure. In program 2, we have underspent by 33% the expected expenditure. We should have spent about 157 million and instead of 4 million. And then on program 3 in quarter 2, we've slightly underspent by about 1.1 million. In the subtotal for the voted funds, program 1, 2, and 3, the expected expenditure in quarter 2 was 180 million. We've managed to spend 127 million, which only reflects about 69% of the projected expenditure. Then on the direct charges, where the judges' salaries and subsidies are coming from, the expenditure was 20% higher than the expected norm, and I'll give you the reasons just now. And then in total, the department should have spent in the order of 395 million in the second quarter, and we spent 386 million, which was about 2.1% less than expected. If we go to the next slide, we will deal with the reasons for over and underspending in that quarter. In quarter one, in quarter two, program one overspent by 1.1 million, and that was due to IT-related purchases that the department had to effect on our voted budget. This budget, up until then, still was in the justice, right, under the IJS budget for IT-related issues. This budget has since been transferred in the adjustment budget process to the OCJ, so the overspending will be rectified moving forward after the implementation of the adjustment budget here. Then program two, in quarter two, there was an underspending of 52 million rand. One of the main reasons for this underspending is when we took over the contract from the 1st of April, most of the vehicles of judges and the department are leased from GC. GC that certain administrative problems implementing the billing systems. So up until then, we were still expecting or waiting the invoices for the rental of vehicles. We just projected in quarter 12 about 35 million that we still owed them, which we couldn't pay because the invoices were not submitted to us. Now the issue that we are currently also dealing with is the telephone account for the courts, which is still in the contract with Justice. So Telkom submitted the invoices to the Department of Justice, and we need to offset the extension between us and Justice, so we are still busy with that process. Then the variance of 1.1 million underspending in program three was as the reason was the training courses were conducted by Sajay in September, but we were only invoiced later on, so we expect the expenditure in quarter two, but we only received the invoice in quarter three. Then on the direct charge, you will see there was that big overspending, and the reason was that during quarter one, when the PASOL systems were still being created, some of the judges were paid in against voted funds instead of direct charges, so we had to offset that by a journal in quarter two to generalize the money back to the direct charge and take it away from it and add it again back to the voted fund. Then in quarter three, if we look at the expenditure pattern there, the OCJ managed to improve our expenditure pattern there. Program one, we spent 25 million of the projected 16.6 million. In program two, we spent 176 million of the projected 161 million. And in program three, we spent 16 million of the projected 8.8 million. Whilst on the direct chart, you will see that we brought that in line under charges salaries. The projection was 214 million, and we spent 211 million on that one. Overall, the OTJ projected to spend 401 million for the quarter. We then spent 428 million for the quarter, which was 6.7% higher than expected. Now, the main reason again here, we continue to implement the IT-related issues, infrastructure improvement in the OTJ on IT. The adjustment budget has not yet been affected at this stage of quarter three, end of quarter three. So we continue spending on our voted budget, and once the adjustment budget is implemented, the money is being transferred from the justice program to offset this over expenditure. same on quarter three, the variance, the overspending of about 14 million was also relating then to the journals that the underspending was relating to the journals of the judges that you had to be seen that in program two. Then the main overspending for the period, but it's still underspending for the total year, was in program three, and that is as a result of the training of the newly appointed magistrates, which were projected for quarter four, which then took place during quarter three, and we conducted the training of those magistrates, and we paid for that during quarter three, which was in the order of about 7 million. On the direct charge, you will see that this was only a 2% under expenditure. Chair, then if you move to the next slide, I just want to indicate to the Portfolio Committee, in terms of the agreement with National Treasury and then subsequent to that, the appropriation bill that was tabled to Parliament for the adjustment budget, how the OTJ resourcing or increased resourcing is going to be affected by the adjustment budget. We managed to substantially get substantial funds from National Treasury in this regard. You will see on the middle column, the original budget total was 1.616 million for the financial year. After the adjustment budget, we managed to increase that by 40.9 million. So the new total adjusted budget is 1.6 million. Now, if you look at the detail of this, the salary increases in the officials in the voted fund, I can't remember the exact percentage, I think it was 6-7%. Treasury out of the 20 million that it was costing the department, Treasury funded us with an additional 15.1 million. Then, as a result still of the transfer of functions and agreements between us and Department of Justice, there's a 25.7 million increase in the budget allocation, that has been a decrease in the justice budget. If you look at the detail of that, 5.5 million was related to personnel expenditure, staff that were transferred after the finalization of the budget for 2015-16. And then the IJF budget, that is the IT-related budget that I was talking about earlier, that 20 million that was previously budgeted in justice, which comes to our budget, and then the day-to-day maintenance at the High Court justice gave us the 200,000 to effect the day-to-day maintenance of the High Court. Thank you.
The presentation, the next slide is really just a general expression of the areas of challenges which relate to office accommodation space to be increased, but we are dealing with that, the first item, because it's already indicated we are moving to a new building with effect from the 1st of April. The lack of institutional independence and reliance on the DOJ, as the committee will be aware, we still have shared services that we have between the DOJ and OCG, and therefore we are not fully independent administratively in relation to a lot of areas that lies in that space. The capacitation of the OCG at S&S level, as you would committee be aware that we're still moving with the macro structure to get it approved, and the office or the department is still operating with just one DDG in such a, and the rest are at the unit facilities. Director level, and we are busy capacitating. The CFO has indicated we have received 7 months, although they were really late in the financial year, that we are pushing to fill some of the positions. Inadequate information, technology systems, in relation to modernization of the court, defining an e-record management, but we are moving with the allocation that Treasury has agreed to give to us as indicated by the CFO to address. Thank you very much.
DG, I hear terms like underperformance, underspending, lack of institutional independence. I think we should expect of you to actually be bold and say we are experiencing this here. This is what you yourself wants to do, without creating the impression that you are so dependent on external factors that we have no role to play except to note what you have said and rubber stamp that. But anyway, I hope in the course of the discussion we will get clarity as to where things get stuck and what is going to be done to resolve them. Honorable members, you have had a report. Now the ball is in your court. Honorable Horn and Honorable Swart.
Thank you, Chairman. First of all, thanks for the presentation. Yes, Chair, maybe in addition to what you have said, I think we must on the outset now get to a point where we as a committee also must convey to the Office of the Chief Justice that the fact is that the judiciary is held in high regard and in a position of trust in the South African society. And they must be very careful and guard very carefully against the situation where poor governance of this newly created department, financially and otherwise, can create a situation where this trust of the South African public is eroded in the judiciary as an institution. For example, it is indeed worrying that in terms of things that the South African public is worrying in terms of governance in South Africa generally, and where they look towards the judiciary also to give guidance and sometimes even punishment, that they are at risk themselves. If you look, for example, at slide 19 and 20 and slide 20, where you talk about a lack of investigation of fraud cases internally, and payments not done within 30 days. I mean, that's the type of things which ultimately might threaten even audit outcomes, because we know that departments will also now be subjected to its first audit by the AG. And it will be indeed a very sad day if the department does not receive a clean audit going forward. So advice, first of all, is that these issues must be addressed, not only prioritized in the next quarter, as you said, but must be sorted out urgently. Hand in hand with that, Chair, on slide 22, it is really inexplicable that what the department or the office of the Chief Justice itself calls critical funded posts are still filled only up on a level of 8%, 11%, and 10%, and then maybe, as you indicated, the explanation, or it may even sound rather than an excuse, that yes, we don't have really enough HR personnel to deal with these issues, but it's not a problem that obviously arose overnight, and this must also be sorted out urgently. Then, Chair, yes, also in respect of the functioning of our courts, while one has sympathy for the complicated matters our courts deal with, it is indeed, on the other hand, interesting to note that even though the caseload, for example, there on slide 34 of the Constitutional Court increased over the quarters, where in quarter one they finalized 45 of 65 cases, in quarter three it was 60 of 109. So if the argument is that, yes, we all have to sit around the table and deliberate on every case itself, then the question must still be asked why we were able to finalise 60 cases in quarter 3 and only out of 109, and if they finalise 60 of the 65 in quarter 1, then the percentage performance would have not been bad. Along the same lines of the performance of our courts, Chairperson, I would also request that in future we not only get percentages in terms of reserved judgment, but also maybe a detailed graph of the number of days of which reserved judgment is outstanding. Because one from time to time in the media and also talking to advocates and attorneys gets a complaint that in certain cases judgments are not only reserved, but it seems that they are reserved at infinitum. So this way of reporting does not really capacitate us as a committee to deal properly with reserved judgments. We need to know for how long judgments are reserved. That, thank you, Chair, is by way of the first round of input.
Thank you, Honourable Horn, Honourable Short.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you for the presentation. Chair, I just wanted to ask one or two questions, generally speaking. As far as our program for the years, we will discuss that later, but it would be good if we were to look again to the possibility of visiting the Concourse and all the SEA. I think they've been on a schedule that's something that we've been intending to do, whether we can put that in this year. It would be helpful, just as a matter of courtesy. There always used to be either the Chief Justice used to come and visit us or we visit him, just as a matter of courtesy. I think this engagement with the Office of the Chief Justice is very helpful as well. When one hears the productivity of the different courts, again, study tours do help. Chair, you'll remember when we went to the South Gauteng High Court in Johannesburg and the challenges that the judges were experiencing and staff were experiencing with the renovations. So again, it just highlights the need for study visits. We appreciate you've got a very busy program, but that's something that we can look at. I just wanted, Secretary, for you to comment on the issue relating to the reduction in the judicial education and research on page 40, that 33%, which was the target was not achieved due to the postponement of scheduled courses. And I think that if you could just unpack that a little bit more, because that's quite a significant reduction. And obviously one has that capacity, one presumes that institution is on standby, and for some reason in that third quarter it was reduced quite significantly. And then, Chair, one presumes that in the annual report we'll look at hours sat in court for that more specific detail that we would normally get from the DG, just to get an understanding of the number of hours that the courts are sitting, and that also gives us an understanding of the challenges that they are also facing. Then I just wanted to ask the section or to unpack the challenges, the constraints. Office accommodation, you indicated that, and we remember visiting you there, and it was not a desirable office, and now we hear that that's moved, which is good. The lack of institutional independence and alliance. So what steps are being taken to address that? Maybe the DG will also address that at some stage. And the capacitation of the OCJ at this level. The inadequate information technology systems. E-filing and e-records. Chair, do you remember when we went to the South Carlton Court, there was a big issue relating to e-filing and e-records, millions of pages, and that was sorted out at that time. So if you'd like to unpack that further, and what steps are being taken to address the challenges and constraints that you're facing. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Sir. Whilst others are making up their mind,
thank you, Chairperson. Just to welcome the report from the Secretary General of the Office of the Chief Justice. To say that you are generally very doing well, we appreciate it. There will always be challenges. You mentioned problem of capacity in relation to HR. Because we've taken over all the other courts. But one wonders whether within the same court previously that we have any HR. Why aren't you taking over the courts and the court personnel in order for you not to find yourself left to the gap? One thing that I think is important is for us to keep on evaluating everything that we do. Because when we roll out, there will always be challenges. And previously, we have actually also indicated that we need to even evaluate the court outcomes to look at to what extent these court outcomes are actually helping South African society to be transformed. To what extent are the court outcomes really nation building? Because whatever we do within South Africa, all of it must have one vision of where the country is being taken to. What nation are we trying to build? Because we're trying to build a new nation in South Africa. And all systems must manage to talk to each other. It will be good in future when you report for you to manage to come with it in that dimension. I know when it comes to court outcomes, there was a report somewhere at some stage. I'm not sure as to what has happened to that report and the outcomes and the outcome of processes that followed the report. I'm worried about failure of the judge to disclose interest. It's something that is very, very difficult and important to look at. Because judges are supposed to be exemplary. But we will wait for the outcome of JSC in interrogation of this matter. You haven't mentioned much about the internal audit processes within your office. And I guess some of the things that I'm actually saying, you will be in the position to address if you manage to have proper internal audit. Because then it actually becomes a process that identifies risk, and it will then therefore it will be something that actually manages to help the office to perform very well. In terms of pricing, I'm worried about the training, not only about the postponement and the reasons for postponement, because many people are feeling that maybe we're not training properly, but the 154 aspirant magistrate that has been trained at the sum of about 7.4 million, I tried to quickly work it out, it's 5,000 the magistrate. Why is it so expensive? I'm sure we can actually manage to train magistrates with a lesser amount of money than this huge sum of money. But you know, South Africans are trying to do that. We like overspending. And it doesn't really help, especially today with the type of economy that we've got. We really need to manage to look at the cost effectiveness of every exercise. But at the same time, what I appreciate is to see you training aspirant magistrates. Because when you look at what is happening within the magistrate commission, they have too many vacant positions of magistrates. In a society that has got too many unemployed law graduates. And I'm sure it's something that we can quickly sort out so that we can let the position fit. Thank you very much.
As you.
Thank you, Chair. For some, I'll ask Dr. Moshele to deal with the SAGE aspect and
I think the commission needs to be reminded that in terms of the appointment of magistrates, they do not pay a role in that process. And as a result, we claim courses for this financial year, and during the year, when 164 magistrates were appointed. And currently, we do not have our own judicial legislators. So we then keep a team of all the magistrates that have been asked, that have been working at this point. To focus on the current for a period of the month. That affected other problems that we had planned, because we couldn't just take a magistrate who does not have the experience of training and let them do the other 10 courses that we planned. So out of 20 weeks, only 2 10, the month of November, the institute only focused on training the 162 magistrates. On the cost of the training of magistrates, that is noted. We are also mindful that it is very expensive to change that amount. But with the new building that's being procured, which has a training facility, we are hoping that we are going to cut a lot of costs. We will still have to accommodate those 164 in a hotel for the period of the month. But at least in terms of conference and other costs, we will be able to share those costs. So set that in-house. How are we planning to address this non-performance of the institute? We have started engaging the chief ministers and their committees in the province to interrogate this issue of postponement of courses for lack of RSVP, etc. We have picked up that in some provinces the plan that is given to submitted to the institute through the forum of the chief ministries, some of the dates that they provide as it looks like there's been a communication breakdown between the forum and the respective provinces, with interaction between now direct interaction between that day and the leadership of the provinces. We are hopeful that the issue of this RSVP will be addressed in the next current year. And also the appointment deployment of the 5G applications, hoping that the internet in the area will be able to make sure that the costs are not canceled in other provinces.
That's true.
Thank you, Chen. On the issue question relating to internal audit processes and their role in terms of risk management, we have in place an audit. We have created internal audit capacity in the department. We are still busy trying to put together to separate that from risk management out of it, because due to lack of capacity, we have to start in one area and we have to separate. So we will be having a risk management director appointed in the next 2 months. So the internal audit capacity is in place. We're still capacitating it further. We do have an institutional risk register that we have in place to look and manage the risk. We do have the audit and risk committee as prescribed in terms of the PSMA, and Mr. Bisha is here with us. So we do have the processes in place to manage the risk and to make sure that as we look at our performance, we identify those examples of performance that we discussed by the director. And the failure of the just disclose is noted, and that we will wait for that process. The evaluation of the court outcomes is noted. We will follow up on the report and in our next interaction. The question relating to HR challenges and whether we did not have or inherited the HR capacity in the course. There are instances where there was a combination of when the transfer happened, we had some of the HR staff which were transferred, but some were vacancies. That is why we are saying capacity in that area is what we are addressing, because those posts have to be filled, because otherwise HR was dealt with at the central level. So, we will be having a chief director for HR with effect on the 1st of March, who will take strategic leadership for HR members in our area. And therefore, we think that there will be improvement going forward. The issue relating to the undertaking of the challenges and the shared services, and how are we, what steps are we doing to address these challenges? I think that will be the first of the question. On the shared services between the OPJ and the DOJ, we have been working together as part of the transition. We have in place a service level agreement which has been developed and which we have been discussing, including the minister. And myself and the put in place systems to ensure that while the SLA is in the process of being finalized, subject to the minister's directive, those processes related to shared services are managed. So we do interact with each other on areas that lie in the space of shared services. The issue of that we are highlighting is relating to the lack of independent administrative capability on certain areas that lie in the space. But we are managing that, and the SLA is in place, and it will be finalized as soon as the minister gives us the go-ahead. And those relate to IT, some level, some areas in the space of corporate services, areas relating to security services, etc. So those are the areas which lie in the shared services, and therefore we are dealing with it in the Department of Justice. The office accommodation, as already indicated, the steps we are taking is that with the space that we have acquired and we are going to move into the 1st of April, one of the areas that I think is a positive aspect to highlight is the fact that for James cost in terms of training, in terms of the funds that we spend on the spaces that we have on training facilities, will be tremendously reduced, because there are areas where that can be dealt with in the accommodation. However, the space itself, we still have to increase it from where we are in terms of the space. So we are busy with public works on that area. We wanted just to highlight it so that for completeness sake, it is in the details. Uh-huh. other question relating to reserve judgments and the expression of the report in terms of the age, we will in the next court provide the information so that it is clear from the report what is the age of each, and we know that the complaints that are coming from the legal representatives, so that the lawyers as indicated that one of them that relating. The process for the decision is when the court of age that is noted. 33% will achieve on the scheduled courses are saying Dr. Moshuri has covered it. He covered that. There was a question relating to the government in relation to program one, which the Honorable Professor indicated there. As we have indicated, we will prioritize to make sure that we address some of the shortfalls in Q1. But as already indicated, we are building capacity, we are running, building a new organization, while at the same time we need to make sure that the efficiency goes. We will ensure that those areas in the next quarter will show improvement in relation to that. And we note, honorable members, the fact that the Office of the Chief Justice as the administration serving the judiciary is in a very immediate position with regards to efficiency and how it will be perceived. And we note that and we will address that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Chair, I think I've covered my note, everything. I don't know if I've left anything that I can
say. No, thank you, SG. You know, I don't envy your position because, as you correctly say, you are building a new organization. And that really requires radicalism and activism. Don't be too much dependent on external factors because we are not going to judge you on the basis of what other people fail to help you with. You know, for instance, if one judge does not disclose, should that really hold the same system, the whole system, and you come here and say that no, the matter is referred to the Judicial Service Commission, and one person brings the whole system at a standstill. So I think we deserve to know more about that. And Dr. Mushu, to say that we hope, and then you seem to blame the provinces. I think there's one center of power, and that is the Office of the Chief Justice. So we want to hear, if there are those obstacles, how have you resolved them? Not that you hope that these things will be resolved. So I think in future, adopt an activist stance and be bold without fear or favor, and tell us in terms of your own vision, how do you want things to happen and how are you going to make them happen. Because otherwise, we'll keep on building a new department for another 20 years, and I don't think we have that time. Other questions? Honorable members? Honorable Bongo?
Yes, not necessarily questions, but you will recall that when we established this government, we need to move with the speed of a mirage in terms of establishing. We're going to do one, two, three, but the report has lost that kind of speed. The point I'd like to say is that the speed has been lost somewhere. So we would appreciate if the department can write. Thank education and human resources are issues that we are supposed to be prioritizing than any other issues. And the issue of establishing a department that is able to run this school, because rather than the sense I'm getting is that they are still tricky, they are still having some dependence on the Department of Justice. And I thought that the report would be just saying, this is where we left, this is where we left, we are moving forward. The request would be that maybe we are starting the financial year. We need to move the otherwise we are going to have problems. Like all these separated issues, because if it's a new department, you know that the Auditor General now is not only auditing in terms of the same old style. The performance quality is one issue that is putting problems to a lot of other departments. It will create a very wrong impression that it's quite a new department and there's some time. I think we may need to attend quick to the issue of staffing so that we don't blame that the only one should be repeating and the issue of staffing so that we know that now we're fine in terms of the organizational structure. Then we can then start to look at other issues, because it can't be everything separate and like not everything is complete. Not one that is complete. Move to the next one, so that when we debate again next time, we'll also be able to pride ourselves that we have established this department and we're doing very well, and we're quite satisfied with the work. So what I'm saying in general is that I think we need to increase the speed at which we're doing certain things, and you must be able to tell us very clearly what are the bottlenecks, what are the problems, so that we can have decision. What is the problem? Why is it happening this way? And what are the systems that must be brought in? So I'm taking decisions. So then we leave here back to the office, we're able to say this, by implementing a decision of the portfolio committee on this. Thank you, sir.
Any other honorable lines, no?
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Not a question, but just a concern. From the report, it would appear that very serious challenges are in the area of criminal cases. Now, people in South Africa live in this constant fear of crime, and especially what's happening in Gauteng, which is so important from the economic point of view. I'm just wanting to emphasize that the needs of the area should really be prioritized to give people of this country a sense of security. Thank you very much.
SG, you didn't deal with the question of the evaluation of judgments. And secondly, the question of venues and hotels. When we have so many law faculties, do we really need to be in a hotel to have this session? Can't we use the university facilities? And can we actually say we don't have facilitators when there are so many professors, junior lecturers, why can't we use those resources? I know that this parliament is also represented in the SIJ committee, but no invitations do come to parliament. Which may suggest that meetings don't take place, because if Parliament is represented, is not invited, what should stop us from assuming that nothing is happening? And what Honorable Bongo was saying is actually very important. that what are the bottlenecks, where are they? I think we should be open about the fact that you have to build a new department, which means moving away from the old, and that of necessity will create conflicting visions between the department and yourself. And there's nothing wrong with that, because anywhere where there is change, there will be some pains of the change. So we need to be told what are the bottlenecks. If the bottlenecks come from the side of the department, we are the ones that oversee the department. We will talk to the department. But if you just generalize for diplomatic purposes, then your appearance before us would not have any meaning to us. So we must be open with one another. It's a situation that we will understand if it arises, because there's other administrative policy and other implications. But as Parliament, we need to know the source of the bottleneck and assist both parties to deal with those matters. Honorable Maida.
Thank you. And thanks for the report. Chair, if you look in slide 19, you will see that for the third quarters, management has been achieving all time 100%.
Mm-hmm.
But now my worry is, it seems the management is leaving the organization behind.
Mm-hmm.
Because if management can perform at 100%, it also bring on board the other divisions.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just worried that if management outshines other divisions, then the organization will equally be better.
Thanks. As Jim.
Thank you, Chairperson. You raised the issue of the evaluation of judgment. Just maybe for clarity before I respond, that it refers to the project that the DOG was undertaking to evaluate the judgment of the NCC or the Center.
DG is here, maybe she might be in the position to assist the district that is the process that was actually initiated before you were established. But I would take it that once you're on board, then it becomes your project. DG, do you mind responding to it?
The 431.
The evaluation of time.
DG, over to you.
Good morning, everyone, colleagues. To the extent that that process was finalized in terms of the actual research, the research has already been finalized. The document, I think, was discussed in the meeting between the executive and the judiciary that was headed by the deputy president towards the end of last year. Excuse me. My understanding is that the process is at the level where it will be submitted to Cabinet and to this Honourable House, because it's now a product that has been discussed at that level. Thank you.
Thank you. We will be in the position maybe when you come and do your presentation to come with full information on it. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. I think we are well covered then. Dr. Mishu?
Thank you, Chair. In terms of venues and hotels, we have interacted with universities and other departments that have space for training. For example, environmental affairs, we but in this particular case, a couple of times before we spoke with the ministry, it has developed things with the accommodation as well. Especially that we are doing that. But we keep on areas where we cannot use the facilities that we are moving to in the other provinces, identify other users. Facilitators present these processes in other experts for training. It is just that this particular problem is because we are dealing here with an actual message that has to go back to court and really be able to deliver the service and be empowered and how to work in that space. Sometimes experts, they know about whatever issues, but in terms of empowering the message to be able to deliver the service, sometimes there is a issue around it. Chairperson, probably if you are referring to the Sunday Council meeting service that is current here, the chairperson has promised that we'll be getting a date. There was communication that we reached the council members in terms of how far we are in arranging the council meeting. We are also mindful of the fact that the council meeting has to take place, otherwise we will find ourselves with an audit finding, because then we will not be complying with the act. We will also send the invitation to the members to volunteer for the committee that are then within for the second member committee. Your previous comment about that I was blaming the province, I was just indicating that what we discovered when we moved to this RCDC challenge,
no, I don't want to be on record as saying you are blaming the provinces. I'm saying that we may end up a PIC fair, we are blaming the provinces. Not that you did it, you did it.
Thank you, talking about venues, it might be out of ignorance, but I'm actually asking the question. But I'm happy the DG is here also. What are the plans around Justice College? Because there's a building standing there, and it's not used anymore. It's been becoming a taxi rank. What are the plans?
In addition to that, I know there's an initiative to establish a training institution for traditional leaders. Are you aware of that? If so, what's happening in that regard?
Thank you, Chairperson. Starting with the latter question on the training of traditional leaders, I think to the extent, firstly, in terms of the definitive awareness, I can't say I am aware. I have had discussions. But to the extent that responsibilities have been assigned, that much I cannot comment on. I can't say I know that. So that's where we stand. But of course, we are working with the Department of Traditional Affairs in the work that we are doing on the traditional court. And I'm sure it's something that is going to emerge and is going to come up, and we will then be able to report to the Honorable House on. To the extent that Justice College exists, indeed it still does exist, because Justice College primarily previously trained the members of the judiciary, primarily it was established to do that. When the judiciary had to migrate and be trained by searching, we then refocused Justice College so that it offers primarily training in three or four areas. One, on the international front, in terms of our international cooperation agreements with other countries, we use Justice College to train as part of our international cooperation agreement. So they do that. That's one of their strategic deliverables. Secondly, they train the department in terms of all the issues that deal with law, in relation to what happens in court, in the support functions that we still render. So they train on that. Thirdly, they train the department insofar as issues of administration are concerned, as well as issues of governance. They still train us on that. The last area is that which they are going to start doing is to train us across the board on the deployment of ICT in the department. So in the main, those all, the last bit is the internal research that is somewhat removed from the research, the South African research, the South African, talk to me, the law reform commission. So there is that, which is a separate entity, but to the extent that there is some research that we need as a department to improve the things that we are doing, the last area is that they are going to be working on that. But that, those two aspects, the ICT as well as the directed research, those are areas that they are going to be starting in the new financial year. So that's what they are currently doing. To the extent that the issue of structure and capacitation is concerned, it's an area that we are driving. It's led very actively by our Deputy Minister right now to ensure that Justice College has the adequate capacity to train. So they are training, as I have said, and the issues of capacity empowerment and empowerment are being looked at within that context. Lastly, to the extent of the question of the building, the Honourable Member is quite correct. Justice College had a building which we handed over to Public Works because it was not habitable anymore, and it was about to be, I think, declared as such. So it was handed over to Public Works for serious refurbishment. We then moved Justice College to a building in Unisa on a contract basis. Now they've been there for about 5 years, I think. And we've been struggling to get Public Works to finalize their work on the establishment. So that's basically where we are. Thank you very much.
I don't know if I misunderstood the question or I misunderstood you. I got the impression that the question here is that Justice College is standing empty, but you were giving us a list of its duties. It's one thing to have the duties and another thing to carry out the duty. What is what?
Peterson, I started by saying Justice College is training. I said it's focusing on the department.
So you are disagreeing that it's not standing empty?
No, I disagree, but I don't think that is what the Honourable Member was saying. I think the Honourable Member was saying the building of Justice College is standing empty. And my response was that indeed she is correct. It is standing empty because we handed it over for refurbishment.
Oh.
And we've moved Justice College to a building in UNISA, which they subsequently moved to another building in the city. That's what I was trying to explain.
No, you said it very well.
They moved to another building.
Yeah, no, it's very good. Mm-hmm. Okay. You know, we have the question of SG perception. And those of us who are in the business of politics, perceptions have weight, and we can't ignore them. There is a view or a perception that the Land Claims Court is neglected, and that the demographics are wrong. Because if the majority of the people that are claiming land are African people, but the majority of the judges come from minority groups who play golf with some lawyers, ordinary people may think that the judges and the white lawyers have ganged up against it. And if they lose the case, they may think that they lose the case because of that situation. I'm talking perception. And also, the Land Claims Court will build this country or sink this country. Because if the majority of the people don't have access to land because our courts are not performing optimally, the people will then bypass the courts, ignore the courts, and take the law into their hands. And once that happens, then it becomes a culture of the country. For instance, it is said that the current Restitution Act is loaded against claimants, and that the Land Claims Court needs a transformation, and that lawyers representing claimants are generally poorly prepared when they appear before the court. Now, that observation by learned lawyers and people, if it's true, what damage is that going to do to the image of the judiciary? And I know that the Chief Justice and his Judge President are very much concerned about the image of the judiciary, and we support that concern. But if nothing is done about a court which must administer justice, and that court is said to be loaded against claimants, one would have expected that that should be a matter of priority to yourself. But from your report, unless it will come in the next report, there's no indication that you are aware of that fact and that you are dealing with it. Let me finish.
I'm sorry, I thought you were finished.
Yeah, okay. So I'm really saying that if this observation is correct, this situation will damage the image of the judiciary, which both ourselves and the judiciary would not desire. And now the question is, what are you doing about the Land Restitution Act, which is said to be loaded against the claimants, and what are you doing about the imbalance in the composition of the court itself? Don't you think that amending that legislation should be a matter of priority? But also, since 2012, it would seem things have not been going well, and then I guess you saw me at the stakeholders meeting at the Land Claims Court. And people claim that since 2012, things don't, since the departure of Justice Bam, things have not been going well. And now there's also the problem that there's more land financial compensation than land restitution. And the people that will get the money, these billions that they are getting, will eat them, that money, during their lifespan. What is going to happen to the next generation? Isn't it, shouldn't it be a matter of concern that people are receiving money, but not on behalf of their grandchildren? And the land is also a resource for the nation. The people who receive the money will eat the money, not to advance national interest. So I thought that these are issues that I should be enjoying priority and driving towards the transformation of that court. Lastly, there is an observation that actually the poverty, unemployment, inequalities in our country are a result of land disposition. And now, if that is the case, it means that addressing the question of land must be the most urgent matter. Otherwise, this talk about ending poverty, unemployment, and inequalities will be a pipe dream. So what are we saying in terms of radical transformation? The only thing that gives me some hope is that Justice Mlambo said last time, and this does not appear, that he has a proposal that can unblock the land restitution program. We even agreed that maybe we should bring the Department of Justice, Agriculture, Rural Development, Arts and Culture, South African Human South African Heritage Resources Agency, have a workshop together, so that everybody must say where do they see the problem, because no single department can deal with this problem. Right now there is a case before the court, people resisting the recent legislation. We should be briefed what's happening there. Should we just sit and wait until we are told that that law has been declared invalid and so on? So that's why I really think that you really have to play some activist role. And lastly, I want to agree with Honorable Short that we should visit the court, not as courtesy, but to really find out what's happening there, so that when there's a need for intervention, we should intervene. But I would say that the first visit should be to the Land Claims Court, and that should be as a matter of extreme urgency, because that court may discredit our judiciary, it may discredit our legal system, it can make our people take the law into their hands, and in some areas it has started where people invade the land because they think that we are not acting. But also where you deal with the question of other interested parties that make your work difficult. I think we should be able to say that you have a provincial regional land claims commission. The court depend on those structures. And if those structures are not functioning well, you should come out and say we must really change the law to either replace those things or put some other mechanism. So I'm saying with respect that we are in power, and we must use that power to change things for the better for our people. We can't be listening to reports which suggest that we don't know what to do. There are other external factors. We have to intervene decisively. I think the president said 2 years ago that during this term, we must do something radically different, and to be radically different, we also have to be activist officials and politicians as well. Honorable Swart.
Chair, I just want to add to what you said. The land issue is a very sensitive issue, and I'm glad that you raised it, because we see some parties that are very irresponsible. And I think that is why you have raised this issue, being promoting land invasions, which we know the Constitutional Court has said would be an anarchy for disaster. So I agree with you that we need to look at the courts. But I think we've got to be careful. You were very careful in the usage of your words. You said perceptions, and I appreciate that. But we've got to be careful that we don't add to those perceptions when we speak about the demographics of the courts. We can then inadvertently ourselves undermine the legitimacy of those courts. I also think we need to be careful of asking the Office of the Chief Justice to comment on policy issues. The Land Restitution Act was amended by ourselves to reopen claims. And we as Parliament and Executive need to look at these policy issues. We need to look, we have passed the law to enable people to choose between accepting funds or the land itself. If we need to relook at that and say, no, you can only accept land, and that needs to be done by us. But I think it's difficult for the Office of the Chief Justice to comment beyond the functioning of the Land Claims Court on policy issues. because we know that they are independent. But I would fully support you raising the issue of that, because it is a critical issue. And if we don't deal with it, it can be very volatile, and we know consequences of people that are making promises that are very volatile, certain political parties, and you know who I'm referring to. So, Chair, I broadly endorse what you're saying with that slight caveat. Thank you very much.
Thank you for that input, the Honourable Short. Any other input? Yeah, and then we are going to close the session. I don't see any hand. Honourable.
Thank you, Chairperson. You made a motion that the next oversight is to the length of the session. I want to
there is a second of the proposition that basically supporting the short that we need to do visits to the court, but that the first visit should be to the land claims court. I just want to add that after that visit, then we must have this workshop, and after Judge Lambo to come and make a presentation that he promised us, and then this should be a joint meeting with other partners that are affected. And then I agree, Honorable Short, that we shouldn't fuel the perception, but we can only stop that by action, because if we sit and do nothing, though perceptions may replace reality and so on. As you want to give a concluding response.
Thank you, Chairperson and Honourable Members. I think we have noted the areas of comments and advice and guidance that the committee has given us, and the areas in which the committee would like us to give more attention that we have long noted. And we will try to ensure that we are present within the constraints that we have. And thank you very much for that.
Thank you. Honorable members, that brings us to the end of this session. And thank you very much for your attendance and contribution. We will have, with your permission, 5 minutes break while there is a reorganization for the next session.
Oh, yeah, PM.